Everybody doing okay? All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to speak just for a few minutes, and then we're going to do the drawing stuff. We're going to have a good time. But before I do, I need to tell you something, okay? I had in the fellowship hall area, I had two rules. And here, I only have one. And it's just for the girls. So guys, y'all don't even have to pay attention to what I'm talking about right now. It's just for the girls. Girls, look at me real quick. Ladies, just want you to know. Got one deal. Girls' bathroom, shut down. Yep, can't go to the bathroom. All right? Yeah, let me tell you why. Let me tell you. No, wait before y'all start freaking out. Let me tell you why. Because you know how you girls are. I don't know what the deal is. You can't go to the bathroom by yourself. And let's just say one girl in here has to go to the bathroom. I don't know how y'all do it. I don't know how you let everybody else know. But it's like you go, and then all the girls in this whole section have to go to the bathroom, and y'all, we lose a whole section of women because one girl had to go to the bathroom. And don't be saying, because I saw some of you when I said it. Y'all look at some of you girls looking at me like, don't even. You know how I'm not. You looked at, I saw you. Yes, you did. You looked at me like, what's he doing? What's he talking about? Why is he telling that to me? Hey, because, hey, ladies, don't say it's chauvinist. Because I'm going to tell you something. We guys, we don't do that. We don't. I'm telling you, you've never seen another guy come up to another guy and say, hey, Bubba, you going to go to the bathroom with me, man? We don't do that. That is a girl thing. So, girls, we have shut the bathrooms. We've turned the water. I told my guys, turn the water off in the girls' bathroom. All right, that's it. All right. So, now, hey. So, here's the deal. Let me tell you what tonight's not about. All right, two things tonight's not about. Number one, are you ready? It's not about your money. I know what y'all sitting there thinking. Yeah, we're in church. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to come up here and they're going to ask me for money and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, when they do this at the end of the deal, they're taking up a love offering for our ministry so we can go around the world telling people about Jesus. This is not for you. All right? I'm telling you, as a guest, I don't want you to give one dime to our ministry. It's not your responsibility. It's the church's. They're going to take care of me. That has nothing to do with you. I don't want you to think we got you up here to get, you know, give you free food and all that stuff, try to get you money. It's not about your money. All right? So if you're a guest, don't give a dime. Secondly, it's not about your religion. I don't care what denomination you come from. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, atheist, agnostic, Satan worshiper, all of the above, none of the above. You've never been to church before. I don't care. Because here's the deal. I'm just glad that you're here. Because what I'm going to talk about tonight is not about religion. What I'm going to talk about tonight is about a relationship. All right? And I'm going to talk about a relationship with Jesus. He changed my life, and he can change yours. And that's what it's all about. Okay? So it's going to be real short, quick, and we're going to have a good time. Y'all good with that? All right, let me pray. Then we'll get started. Let's pray. And hey, let me tell you something else real quick. All right? I like having a good time, and you're going to see first story I tell about something that's going to be funny. I like to have a good time, but I will, if there's one person in here that's like disrupting the whole bunch of people, I will bust you in front of everybody. And I can embarrass the fool out of you. Don't want to do it, but I can. And don't forget, I'm doing your school assemblies tomorrow. And I can embarrass you in front of everybody at school. Just want you to know. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for all these students that are here. Thank you for a church that loves students, loves people in this community, and they go to the ends of the earth, links, just doing whatever they can to let everybody in this whole area, in this county, know that Jesus loves them. And I pray, Father, right now that you would draw people to yourself. God, we rebuke every evil spirit in this place that's trying to distract people and keep people from hearing the truth. And I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would draw people to yourself right now. We give you praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have any of y'all ever been run over by a car before? Anybody here been run over by a car? Seriously, really? And back here in the back? Okay, no, wait. Let me clarify something. I'm not talking about has the car run over your foot. That don't count. I'm talking about has 2,500 pounds of steel gone over the top of your body. Anybody? Now, if you got hit by a car and thrown, that counts. If you got hit and went over the car, that counts too. All right, so you're going to have to tell me about it after it's over with, okay? Seriously, dude? Really, you too? All right, after it's over with, come tell me how you got run over. All right. I'm always curious about it. I've been run over before. Seriously, I was run over. My best friend run over me. He wasn't my best friend after that. But here's what happened. I was living in Texas. I moved down to Mobile, Alabama to finish up college, my last 2 years of college. Moved down there, pulled a U-Haul trailer, got in about midnight. Well, I got in about 11 o'clock, unloaded the trailer by about midnight. I got there, man, I was tired. I was ready to go to bed. And my best friend at the time, he's one of these kind of guys that just keeps running out of mouth. And once you get to do something all the time, it just keeps on and on until you do it, you know? So he keeps on, hey, man, Ronnie, we got to go see the campus tonight. We got to see the campus tonight. I'm like, Barry, I'm tired. I'm gonna go. He goes, no, you got to see it tonight. Finally, I just said, okay, I'll go see the campus, just to get him be quiet. I go see the campus, see the athletic facilities, the dorms, all that stuff. We get through seeing it. I said, okay, man, I'm going home. I'm going to bed. He goes, no. He said, there's one more thing you got to go see. I said, what, Barry? He said, we got to go see Cry Baby Bridge. I said, Barry, what in the world is Cry Baby Bridge? He said, you never heard of Cry Baby Bridge before? I said, Barry, I'm from Texas. How am I going to know about Cry Baby Bridge all the way down to Mobile, Alabama? He said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, see here in front of the campus? He said, see that road? I said, yep. He said, 2 miles down that road, there's a bridge. Legend goes, there was this lady driving her car across the bridge one night when the moon was full at midnight, like it is tonight. He said, she ran off the bridge and ran, she had her baby in the front seat. That's when they could ride in the front seat back then. Run the front seat. Ran off the bridge and ran into the river. And later on, she was found dead. But the baby never was found. And legend goes, every night when you're on the bridge at midnight and the moon is full, if you're real quiet, you can hear the baby crying in the woods. Shh, shh. And if you put a candy bar, especially a baby Ruth, at the end of the bridge and come back about 15 minutes later, candy bar's gone. No, you know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a smart raccoon at the other end of the bridge going, these stupid people, he's even baby Ruth every time somebody does it. So Barry is in his car. He's driving his car. I'm riding the passenger seat. We got about 3 or 4 other college students in the back seat. Now, hey, students, don't ever do anything like this. Okay, don't do anything like this. So he's pulling his car across the bridge. I said, he stops the car, and he rolls down the windows. And then all of a sudden, now this is why I'm telling you, don't do anything like this. He turns all the lights out in the car and turns them off, the headlights off, everything. Rolls down the window, and he starts making this noise like this. And then I start making this noise like this. The girls in the back seat start freaking out. They start hitting Barry in the back of the head. Get out of the bridge! Get out of the bridge! So Barry, he starts the car, pulls across the bridge. I said, Barry, stop the car. He said, what? I said, I want to drive your car. He had a brand new red Firebird. He said, okay. He stops the car. I get my door. I open it up. I get out to walk around the other side, drive the car. And Barry, who is the biggest idiot in the whole world, thinks he's going to be funny and leave me out in the middle of nowhere. Now, I'm just going to tell y'all something right now. I'll tell you straight up. I'm a redneck. I'm a hick. Today, before I came up here, we were hog hunting. in the woods with dogs, we kill them with a knife, pocket knife, all right? So one of them jokers charged me, all right? So I'm just telling you, my deal was not that I was scared. My deal was I was tired. I was ready to go to bed, and I didn't want to have to hitchhike it back to my house. So Barry takes off in the car with my door wide open. Me, being the bigger idiot than Barry is, I run and jump in the car while it's going. I get my left foot in the floorboard. This hand's on the roof. This one's on the windshield. This other foot just starts dragging like this right here. And he's going about 10 miles an hour at first, all right? And so I'm saying to Barry, stop the car. Stop the car. I'm not playing. I'm not playing. Stop the car. And then, like, he gets this, like, demon-possessed look on his face. He looks over at me and goes, and he speeds up. He goes from 10 miles an hour to 20, 30, 40. I'm going, Barry, stop the car. I'm not playing. I'm not playing. But this time, my left foot slipped in the floor mat. I hit the pavement at 40 miles an hour. This was the first thing that hit the pavement. This gashed open. I had to have 9 stitches later on to sew this back up in here. Scrape this whole side of my face. I'm rolling at 40, like that. But it seems like it's in slow motion to me. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had anything happen fast in your life, but it seems like it's in slow motion. So I'm rolling at 40, but this is the way it seems to me. I look up, and as clear as you can see that ceiling, I could see the muffler underneath the car. No joke. First thought was, dude, I am underneath this car. Second thought, I'm thinking, dude just ran over me. He ran over my left leg right here. My right leg right here. Goodyear printed on my britches right here. I felt like a human speed bump. Just like, ba-doom, like that, you know? And so when you get run over, you slow down. So I'm slowing down, vroom, 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 and I stop because I hit a fence post. And I'm laying in the ditch, weeds all up around me. Barry stops the car, comes up to me. No joke. First thing he says, you okay? I said, dude, do I look okay? My eyeball is about to fall out of my head. No, I'm not okay. Second thing he said, this ended our friendship right there. I just said, just forget you, man. He said, hey, man, you're not going to sue me, are you? You're not going to sue me? I said, dude, get out of my face. I get up. I hobble over, get in the back seat of his brand new car. I'm bleeding all over the place, okay? So I'm bleeding all over his car. I'm like, you deserve that. You can't get that out of your car. I'm going to bleed all over that joker. You know, that's what you get for running over me. So then they take me to Spring Hill Memorial Hospital. That's about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Let me ask you a question. Have any of y'all ever been in the emergency room 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? Raise your hand. Yeah. What are you people doing there? Seriously, dude ran over me. There are 50 people in front of me. There's one guy that has some blood on him besides me. And he's got his leg like this. I said, hey, dude, what happened to you? He said, I got shot. I said, well, dude, you need to be in here. He said, I know. He said, what happened to you? I said, dude ran over me. He said, you need to be in here. I said, I know. And all these other people standing around just got like a headache. I'm like, hey, you got a headache? I got it covered. Take 2 Tylenol. Come back tomorrow. It'll be fine. But hey, listen, all you people have been in the emergency room 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. What's the first thing you do when you go to the emergency room? The very first thing you have to do before anything takes place. Fill out a bunch of forms. And listen, I'm not talking about like 1 sheet of paper. I'm talking about a stack of forms. And then these doctors ask you a bunch of dumb questions on these forms. Like one of the questions was, in case of emergency, notify. I put on my form, a doctor. Phone number, 911. Don't be asking me something like, dude, run over me. I need a doctor in here. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, what do dead people do when they come in there? What do they do? Just stick a pin in their hand? Clear. Okay, sign. What do they do? Now, here's the thing. Listen up. You know, a lot of people say, you know, before you die, you know, your life flashes before your eyes. I'm going to tell you something. That night when I was underneath that car, I really thought I was going to die. I really did. Because I'm going to tell you, they say your life flashes before your eyes, all that. No, I'm going to tell you something. A red firebird flashed before my eyes. You know, they say you see a big white light and all that. Man, I saw a license plate. That's what I saw. I was going to die. Now, here's the thing. We have a lot of different people in here tonight. We have people that are students in high school, middle school, elementary students. We got adults. We got couples. We got grandparents. We got single adults. We got a lot of people that go to church. People that don't go to church come from a lot of different backgrounds. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, we all have one thing in common. And that one thing that we all have in common, whether you like it or not, we are all in this building 100% guaranteed you're going to die one day and there's nothing you can do about it. And the question is, when you die, where are you going to spend eternity? The Bible says there are only one of two places. Whether you have a Catholic Bible, Protestant Bible, what I'm preaching tonight is in your Bible. And the Bible says there are one of two places. It's either heaven or it's hell. And I'm going to show you real quick how you can know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And here's what the Bible says, first of all. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Hey, I want every single one of you to know before you leave this place, you need to hear this. Hey, if you don't hear anything else I said today, you hear this right here. You ready? God loves you and cares about you unconditionally. And man, I know there's a bunch of you in your home, the junk you're going through at home, you feel like that nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. I want you to know God loves you and God cares about you. He loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. There was a 17-year-old girl that was raped by an 18-year-old guy. And as a result of the rape, she got pregnant, could have had an abortion, but she didn't. She had the baby, and that baby is me. And I'm not here by accident, just like you're not here by accident. You know, people, there's a lot of people in this world that says somebody like me that's a result of a rape, they say somebody like me should never have been born. Should not even have the right to exist. But I want you to know this. I'm no more special than anybody in this room. Just like God had a plan for me, God had a plan for you. And God desires a relationship with you. And he loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus out of heaven down this earth to die on a cross to pay for your sins. Because he loves you that much. Do you realize if you'd have been the only person on this planet, he still would have died on the cross for you? Do you understand? That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares about you. Nobody else loves you like Jesus. He did it for you because he loves you and cares about you. But here's the deal. The deal is, the Bible says, even though God loves us, you and I, we have a problem. Everybody on this planet, we all have a problem. Everybody in this room, everybody on this planet, we all have a problem. And you know what the problem is? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you know what that means? That means we've all messed up. We've all sinned. Every preacher, every choir member, every deacon, every good FCA person, everybody, we have all sinned. Nobody's better than anybody else. See, Ronnie, you don't understand. I don't know if you know who you're talking to, but dude, I haven't been to prison. I'm pretty good. I ain't killed nobody, so I'm good. I'm gonna get to heaven because I've done some good things and stuff. Not killed nobody. I go to church every once in a while. I'm good. Hey, guess what? I don't care if you go every single day. I don't care if you pray every single day. The Bible says you and I, we've all sinned. We've messed up. He said, "No, Ronnie, I really haven't sinned. I'm good. I'm really good." All right, let me ask you a question. Look right here. Everybody look right here. Y'all see this Bible? Okay, you have one just like it. If you don't have it with you right now, you probably got it at home. If you don't have one at home, we can get you one tonight. But here's the deal. In the Bible, there are hundreds of commandments in God's word of things we're supposed to do and things we're not supposed to do, right? All right, let's just do this. Can we get an agreement that there's, let's just talk about the big 10. The big Ten Commandments. Do y'all know that? Remember when Moses went up on the mountain? God gave him the Ten Commandments. He wrote it, you know, on the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments was like, don't kill nobody. And y'all saying, see, Ronnie, I'm good. I ain't done that. I ain't killed nobody. So go ahead. Throw another one at me, Ronnie. I keep Ten Commandments all the time. Now watch this. Every single one in here breaks the Ten Commandments every single day. All right, now watch this. Guys, I'm about to bust every one of y'all in here. Are y'all ready? With just one of the Big Ten, you break every day. Just one. Every guy in here. Look at me, guys. Girls, I'm not even talking to y'all. I'm talking to guys. Guys, look right here. One of the Big Ten, one of the Big Ten Commandments that you break every single day, the Bible says, do not commit adultery. I wish y'all could see this. I'm up here, and I'm telling you, you see junior hires looking around at high school dudes. Like, psst, hey, dude. Dude, what's adultery? High school dude looking back, like, dude, don't look at me. I don't know how he's going to pin this adultery thing on me. Dude, I don't even got a girlfriend. How's he going to put a pin on adultery on me? I ain't commit. I don't want you no girlfriend. I ain't got a girlfriend. How about I'm going to commit adultery? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart already. Bam! Bam! All the girls are going, that's right. Praise to those dirty, nasty boys. They always looking at me and lusting after me. Huckleys, huckleys, huckleys. Hey, 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 girls. Girls, looky here. Here. Girls, you sin too. You say, oh, no, I don't, Mr. Ronnie. I don't like dirty, nasty boys. I don't even look at them. Ladies, y'all ready for this? One of the Big Ten you break every single day. Y'all ready? I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're a munchkin or you're a senior adult lady. Y'all ready for this? One of the Big Ten. One of the Big Ten. Do not lie to nobody. Bam! Bam! Oh, yeah, don't act like you don't. You know you do. Hey, you want me to give you one? You want me to give you one? Here it is right here. Hey, your girlfriend gets a new hairdo. She goes, oh, what do you think? Do you like my new haircut? I got a new haircut. And you go, oh, girl, it looks so pretty. I'm so glad you did that. And you are lying through your teeth because she looks dog ugly in it. That's a sin. You know it is. All right, girls, y'all don't even look at your girlfriend. Don't even look, girls, don't look at your girlfriend. Look right here. Because y'all about to get in a fight right now, I know. You said it looked good. No, I know I did. He said it. I didn't say it. All right, look right here. Here's the thing. Y'all ready? We all sin. Everybody in here. We mess up. And here's the thing about our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, says for the wages of sin is death. That means because we've sinned, we deserve to die and go to hell. I guarantee there is not a person in this place, not a preacher, not a church member. There is nobody in this place that deserves to go to heaven. No, I'm telling you right now, I'm a preacher, been doing it a long time. I flat deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve because I've sinned against God. And here's the thing. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God loves you and God cares about you. And he wants a relationship with you. But because we've sinned, we're separated from him. So what he did was, he sent his son Jesus. Here's what it says in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's what happened. Jesus died on the cross for you and me so all of our sins could be wiped out. Hey, because guess what? Going to church don't wipe out your sin. Throwing money in the plate, don't wipe out your sin. Getting wet up here doesn't wipe out your sin. Jesus dying on the cross, his blood for you and me is the only way our sins can be wiped out. You say, well, okay, well, then that's good. So you say Jesus died on the cross for the whole world? Yes, he did. You say, then the whole world gets to go to heaven? No, they don't. You say, then, well, that's kind of judgmental. You're judging people. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You say, well, then who gets to go to heaven? Romans 10:13 says, whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you mean to give you another one? Peter said, they said, what shall we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. We are to repent of our sins. We're to say, God, I've messed up. Man, would you please forgive me? God, I'm turning from my sins. I want to invite you into my life to be my boss, my Lord, and my Savior. If you've never done that before and you would like to, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute, right where you're seated, to call, just like the Bible says in Romans 10:13, on the Lord and invite him to come into your life. You say, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? Here's what you do. You pray something like this. Now, hey, listen, I want to be straight with everybody. I'm not blowing you no smoke. I'm shooting straight with you. Here it is. We're not blessing the food. We're not praying, now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about if you have never repented and turned from your sins and committed your life to him and said, hey, I'm all in, if you've never done that before, that's what I'm talking about. And if you would like that relationship, I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's going to go something like that, like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've messed up. And God, I want to ask you to forgive me of all my sin. And God, I turn from my sin, and I invite you into my life to be my boss, my Lord, and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. If you've never done that before, and you would like to commit your life to him, right where you're seated, I'm telling you this, he changed my life. I guarantee he'll change your life. You say, how? He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. That's awesome. And he'll come to live in you, and he'll never leave you. You say, okay, Ronnie, so I pray that prayer. Hey, I'm going to shoot straight with you, okay? Like I said before, I'm going to give you straight up. Any of y'all play sports? Any of y'all play sports? Any kind of sports. All right, put your hands down. You know no matter what sport you play, you know your coach is going to run your tail, right? You know that going into it. So here's what I'm going to do. Since you already know that when you play those sports, I'm going to let you know what's involved once you give your life to Christ. Because I don't want you to get blindsided and go, well, hey, I didn't know that. I wasn't signing up for that. I'm going to let you know straight up what the Bible teaches. Here's what happens. If you're willing to repent and turn from your sin and pray that prayer and invite Christ to come to your life, I want you to know this. That means when you give your life to Christ, that means all the partying, viva loco, sleeping around, partying around, all that kind of stuff, you're saying, hey, I'm turning from that and I'm turning to follow Christ. You want to keep sleeping around, partying around, doing the viva loco, then you keep on doing that. You don't want what I'm talking about. Now, you say, well, so you're saying I'm going to be some perfect saint? No, we all mess up. I'm telling you right now, I mess up every day. But here's what I'm saying. Once you give your life to Christ, you're saying, hey, I'm all in. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Jesus, I can't do all this. I mean, you're going to have to do this because I can't do all this. I want to follow you, Christ. That's what I'm talking about. All right? So you're going to repent and turn from your sin. Number two, when you pray that prayer, after you do it, here's the first thing the Bible teaches. Once you invite Christ to come to your life, you're to follow through and take a stand for him. He said, Jesus, who died on the cross for you, said in Matthew 10:32-33, he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He says, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father who's in heaven. It's imperative that once you invite Christ to come to your life, you're to let everybody know. You say, okay, so then how you do that? Here's what we're going to do. If you pray that prayer in just a minute, what we're going to do is I'm going to have everybody stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. When we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, I'm going to give you about 15 seconds, 20 seconds tops, to get out of your seat, come forward, stand right down here at the front facing me. Not facing the crowd, facing me. Everybody getting up here. You say, wait, Ronnie, I go to another church. I don't want to join this church. You're not coming to join this church. When you come forward, you're saying, tonight I gave my life to Christ. I have become a follower of Christ, and I'm going to do what the Bible teaches, and I'm letting everybody know about it. If you're not willing to do that, don't pray this prayer with me. Don't invite Christ to come to your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. We got enough fake and phony Christians, so-called Christians in our churches. We don't need any more. I mean, either y'all in or you're not. Okay? I'm not talking about throwing a chip in, saying, yeah, I'm ending up. No, I'm talking about all the chips in, saying, hey, I'm in. I'm in on this Jesus. Okay? So if you're afraid of everybody at school finding out that you're a follower of Christ or anybody at work, man, if you don't want nobody to know, don't pray this prayer. Because everybody that Jesus called to be his disciple, he called them out publicly. It's not some private little, oh, this is by myself. No, it's public in front of everybody. So you say, okay, so what happens when I get up the front? Once everybody gets up here, in about 15 or 20 seconds, once you get up here, I'm going to pray for you. When I get through praying for you, I'm going to send you out the back. We got some people called encouragers that just want to pray with you, give you some material. It's not going to take long. All they're doing is getting your information. They're going to give you, not so we can hound you or anything like that. If you go to another church on a regular basis, we're going to give that to your pastor and let your pastor know. If you don't go anywhere and you would like to be a part here, we would love to have you here. But what you're doing is you're saying, I'm following Christ. And so we're going to pray with you, give you that material that talks about what I just went through tonight with you. And also, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible because you start a spiritual journey with God today. That's how you get to know it. See, and that's the other thing about when you give your life to Christ. You say, what's the next step? Next step is you start reading your word. This is the Bible. Start reading it. Start in John, first chapter. Start reading it because that's how God speaks to you. And he also speaks to you through prayer. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to say hither and thither and stuff like that. You don't say hither and thither. How do you talk to your best friend? That's how you talk to God. You say, hey, God, I'm having a bad day today. Hey, God, thanks for being so cool today. Thanks for doing that for me. Just talking to him. Now, and then the last thing, once you give your life to Christ, you're to let everybody know that you're a follower of Christ. You need to let your family know, your friends know, your mom and dad, your brother, sister. Because God changed you, you need to tell them so they can be changed too. Now, if you understand all that and you're willing to follow through, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that prayer, and right where you're seated, you can pray with me and invite Christ to come to your life if you've never done this before. Okay? Not talking about rededication. You can't rededicate something you don't have in the first place. Okay? I'm talking about here, right now, I'm all in. If that's you, I'm going to pray that prayer. And right where you're seated, whether you're a parent, whether you're a student, you can pray and invite Christ to come to your life. Can you do me a favor? Can you give me 2 minutes? Nobody get up. Nobody leave. Nobody talk. We're almost done. Just 2 minutes. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes, please? With heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, Ronnie, that's me. I've never done that before, and I would like to do that right now. Then you pray this prayer with me and invite Christ to come to your life. Just pray this prayer to God. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've messed up. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. God, I turn from my sins, and I invite you into my life to be my boss and my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one's looking around, if you're here tonight, you say, Ronnie, for the first time in my life, I understood what I was doing. I meant business, and I just prayed that prayer, and I invited Jesus to come to my life. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would just those of you that pray that prayer, would you just look up at me right now? Let me catch your eyes. All right, so you guys here, 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 here. Got you guys here, 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 here. Down here in front, got you here, here, here. Anybody in the back here? Got you, buddy. Got you, buddy. Over here at the side. All right, got you guys here, 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 here. Got you ladies here, here. Got you guys here, 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 here. Got you ladies here. Guys back here in the back. Got all you guys here. Yes, ma'am. Got you guys there. Yes, ma'am. Got you, buddy, in the back. Anybody else? Got you? All right. Would you do me a favor? Would just those of you that pray that prayer, Would you just keep looking up at me just for a second? Everybody else's heads bowed and eyes closed. Just those that prayed the prayer, I just want to share something with you from the Bible. According to what the Bible says, all of you that just prayed and invited Christ to come to your heart, Jesus came to live in you, and the Bible says he will never leave you. The Bible says in Psalms, though my mother or father forsake me, he says, I never will. You know what that means? Our parents might let us down. They might leave us. Our spouse might let us down. They might leave us. He says, but I never will. Man, that's good news. So you say, okay, so what am I supposed to do now? You know. All right, not trying to pull any punches. You know what we're going to do. So here's what's going to happen. In just a second, we're going to stand all over this building. When we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, they're going to sing one song. It's only going to be 15 to 20 seconds long. I want to ask you to get out of your seat in just a minute and stand right up here at the front. Once everybody gets up here at the front, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to send you back to the back so we can give you that material, pray with you. And if you don't have a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible, and then you're going to come right back in here. Nobody's going to miss out on anything, okay? We're not doing anything until everybody gets back in here, okay? So there's no drawing or anything like that until everybody gets back in. And you're not coming tonight right now for that drawing. You're coming tonight in just a minute. When I say amen, you're going to be coming to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's why I'm coming. Okay? So, and those of you that are our counselors, encouragers, if you'll do me a favor, just stay back in the back. Don't come forward yet, and I'll tell you what I want to do in just a minute. Okay? So can you do me a favor? Can we all please stand now with heads bowed and eyes closed? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As soon as I say amen, he's going to sing, you step out and come. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I ask you to draw people to yourself. Give them the courage to take a stand for you. And bless their obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As they sing, you come on right now. You got about 15 seconds. Come and stand right at the front.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all with me, how great. How great is our God.
Come on, if you can, just slide in here so we can get it. Y'all keep walking over here. You can do the same thing. If you can, come over here so we can fit in here. Y'all just slide right through here, okay? Y'all just slide right up here. Keep coming right through here. Come on up to the front. Come on, guys. Y'all just slide right through here over this side.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all we see, how great is our God.
Okay, as she continues to play, I want y'all to just look at me real quick. Man, I want you to know I'm excited for you. I'm fired up for you. Now, here's what we want to do real quick, all right? I'm going to pray for you. Before I pray for you, I'm going to tell you something we're doing this week, okay? Who is selling our steak tickets back there? Who's in that? See that gentleman in the blue shirt? Can you come on up here so people can kind of see you? Just stand in the aisle right there. Wave your hand again. See that guy right there? He's going to be in the foyer right out over here, okay? That little hallway right there. He's going to be right there after church, all right? Here's what we're doing on Wednesday night. Tonight we had pizza. Wednesday night we're having steak, all right? We're having steak, baked potatoes, salad, the whole nine yards. Church members are buying their steak tickets, and they're giving it to their friends. Here's what I want to do for you. If you don't go to church on a regular basis, now, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, all the time. If you don't go all the time, and you would like to be a part here, and you want to follow through and be baptized here, we're going to baptize on Wednesday night. You say, what's the big deal about baptism? Baptism, as I told you earlier, it does not save you. It just lets everybody else know you've been saved. And Jesus commands us to do it. This wedding ring did not make me love my wife when I got married. I already loved her before I walked down the aisle. This ring was just letting everybody else know, hey, that's my wife, and that's who I'm committed to from here on out. You say, okay, so that's what baptism is. Baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life. And you're letting everybody know you're a follower of Christ. So we're going to baptize Wednesday night. And there will be people that will come to see you baptized that would never come to church. My dad and my grandpa would never go to church. Guess what happened? They came to see me baptized. And not too long after that, my dad gave his life to Christ. Took my grandpa a long time, 20 years, but I baptized my grandpa this past year. I'm going to tell you something. God answers prayers. So what we want to do is we want to help you. If you don't go anywhere on a regular basis, then what I want you to do is after church is over with, you go see that gentleman right there. You just tell him, hey, I need, there's five people in my family. There's seven. There's two. Maybe you'll invite a grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, spouse. You just say, hey, I need three tickets. I need seven. I need six. Just count how many you give out, okay? You tell them how many you need. We're going to give you those for free. You don't have to pay for them. And then on Wednesday night, you bring a dark-colored shirt, dark-colored shorts, and a towel. And we're going to baptize you, and hopefully your whole family will come to see you baptized, and your whole family could get saved and changed and baptized with you. If you don't have a family, friends, relatives, neighbors, co-workers, get them to come, all right? So after it's over with, you go see him. Well, I'm going to tell you what, even before it's over with, here's what I want you to do. We're going to take you where we ate pizza in there. When you get through eating pizza, you're going to come back down that hallway to come in here. He's going to be standing in that hallway. That's when you give them out to him, okay? And they're orange tickets, and we're going to give those to you, okay? All right. If you go to another church on a regular basis, go back to your church on Sunday, you let your pastor know what you did, and you get baptized in your church, okay? You start it right now, this Sunday, taking care of business. I'm going to pray for you. Those of our encouragers, would you do me a favor? Would you go out in the hallway, go ahead and go over to the counseling area? Hey, wait, before you leave, go to the cafeteria, whatever the thing is, that fellowship hall. What I need is, I need ladies on one side of the hallway, men on the other side. When students come through, I need you to grab at least five students each, okay? If they're going to get baptized on Wednesday night, would you do me a favor, put a check in the top right corner of their card so we know to follow up on them first so that we'll know that they're going to be baptized on Wednesday night, okay? All right, let's pray. And the counselors, y'all go ahead and go out there and get lined up if you don't mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all these students and these adults that have come forward and given their heart to you. I pray, God, that you give them boldness and courage. God, plant that seed in fertile soil. That, God, that you would protect the gospel that you planted in their heart from the enemy. And, God, I pray you grow them up to be godly, mature followers of you. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you do me a favor? I want you to do this real quick. Would y'all go ahead and be seated? Can you lead them down? Just follow this gentleman right here. He's going to take you to the hallway. Y'all be right back in here. Y'all not going to miss out on anything. Pastor, would you go ahead and come on? Y'all just go this direction down that aisle right there, okay? It won't take long. Excited for y'all. Proud of you.